You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live from the Atlanta Boat Show, and boy, do we have a lot to get to. ATL, he's gone. ATL, our owner for our football team, spoke today, and Mike and I were both there. We have a lot to talk about in regards to what Arthur Blank said and what he didn't say. And, Mike, as we're down here at the Atlanta Boat Show, first of all, just set the scene, man. First of all, beautiful boats everywhere. If you have a lot of money, come down here. All right? That's what I would tell you. Because I'm walking through these exhibits, and I'm like, I like my boat, but damn, these are really, really nice. They have an amazing layout of amazing boats, every different type that you can imagine. You want to go and take it, this thing on the ocean, Mike? I know you like to do that. They've got the boat for you.
If you feel the best boat is someone else's, would you like to be that someone else? Come on down to the boat show. And thanks to the organizers here at the boat show, we have been perfectly placed right next to the beach bar. So there's a stage with live band in the northwest corner, Carl, of Hall B.
This is correct.
For those who know, because you got to navigate if you got a boat. And right next to the bar. Find the radio host near the bar. Join the party, pal.
Keep walking. That's what I would tell you. Just keep walking.
It's a lot of boats.
It is a lot of boats.
It's one of the biggest boat shows in the world.
All right, man. What did you take from Arthur Blank's presser today over at the Arthur Blank Family Foundation?
If I'm honest?
Yes.
Nothing.
Okay.
I got to be honest. I was just telling Day-Day, and I hate to say this, but I just feel like nothing's going to change as long as Arthur's in charge. I think that Arthur, he's getting up there, and I'd love to see him transition to maybe his son Josh, maybe taking a more active role running the thing. It's kind of like, but good luck telling Jerry Jones to step away, right? Because I do think, Carl, the constant is Arthur, and the way they're reshuffling, it just sounds like it's a lot of word salad about the structure. And what makes this so different than what we were doing the last time? Before the consultants got involved, you're going to have a team president, general manager, coach, you're going to answer to him. It may or may not be Matt Ryan. We think it's going to be Matt Ryan. Today, by the way, as I think Andy and Randy mentioned, this is league mandated. There's a certain date by the time your season's over, you got to have a presser. So there was nothing official about Matt or the coach. But what did you take? Because honestly, I was left with really nothing, if I'm honest.
Well, look, I felt like I did learn a couple of things about this sportsologist, sportsology folks that came in, the search firm. And one of the things that he said, and look, I don't think this is new to Falcon fans, because we watched, we paid attention, we discussed every week with you guys what was good, what wasn't good with this football team. But when Arthur Blank said that the report he was given by Sportsology said that there was a lack of clarity and vision for the team, there's your answer to why we are where we are.
Right.
So I know many of you have said this. Hey, Dukes and Bell, we don't have this, we don't have that. But what he said for the first time publicly is an outside source gave him a full report that said, oh, by the way, and he was talking about, in context, he was talking about what he may have been surprised about in the findings. So to understand this, they interviewed about 30 people in the organization, including Terry and Ra. They did not include the other coaches. So not the coaching staff. This is everybody else in and around the organization, 30 random folks, and I don't know what those questions were like. But when you come out of that, and the owner says, Mike, we lack clarity and vision for the team, this is why he wants a president of football. That is why they're creating this position, because obviously he didn't get it from the coach. We know, obviously, the general manager, Mike, gets back to Terry. I think it was marginalized. That's just me. But that kind of thing has to come from either the head coach or the general manager. And apparently, according to Sportsology and now Arthur Blank, that was not evident.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and as I heard that, you and I and a couple of guys from the station, we all kind of looked at each other and, eyebrows went up. How? How is that even possible? And how does that change? I mean, that's the debate. The general manager and the coach will answer to presumably Matt Ryan. Okay, so... So the general manager is not autonomous. You know, he doesn't have autonomy. I mean, at the end of the day, there's still going to be somebody above you. And by the way, if you hire a guy like John Harbaugh, he's a CEO himself. He's not an offensive-minded or a defensive-minded guy. So just you have another layer. So I got to be honest with you, Carl. I get the logic behind it. I just don't know if it's going to work. I'd rather just see them hire a general manager, and this is your show.
Yeah.
And you run it. You hire the coach. But that's not the way this is going to work. And look, that's why I'd like Matt to be the president GM, but he's not going to be that. So, I mean, like, I would like to – I would simplify it as much as you can. And as I said to you earlier, off the air, surprising – you paid consultants to tell you what every Falcon fan already knew, that you're just not a well-run organization.
Well, when you're not – and this is Arthur Blank's words. I'm not in the day-to-day operations, which is why, Mike, I think he has those meetings with the coach we talked about every week. And then he gets reports from – it used to be, I guess, Rich McKay, and then it was Terry Fontenot to Rich McKay, whoever. But when you're not involved in the day-to-day, this is why they hired, you know, one of the reasons why they hired the Sportsologist folks to come in. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live from the Atlanta Boat Show talking about what the owner said today. If you heard it live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, what did you take from it? And maybe you say, you know what? He didn't tell us anything. I don't know. Maybe you feel like I do. Look. When he said Michael Penix is the franchise quarterback, my mouth dropped. Because how can the owner say that, Mike, when we don't know what the president or the new general manager's vision is going to be?
Yeah.
So the owner is telling us right now, I don't give a damn about who we're bringing in. My vision right now is that Michael Penix is going to be the franchise quarterback. And I was like, okay, because I didn't expect him to say that.
And I never got a chance to ask a question because Allison asked that question. He kind of answered Allison from Channel 2's question about that. My follow-up, if I got a chance, would have said, so you mean to tell me if a potential coach or general manager comes in and they don't envision, they don't see Michael Penix Jr. as the long-term solution. Their vision of a quarterback doesn't align with yours. They're precluded from being hired? Because that's what you basically said. So if there's a guy that comes in and says, with all due respect, as general manager, I think your guy blew it. Penix Jr. is not the guy. And he doesn't – or a coach says, here's what I'm going to try to run offensively. Penix Jr. doesn't fit that. So you don't hire him? I mean, that's why – that's the one thing today which I stand corrected. I did learn something today. I learned that, and I'm not happy with what I learned.
404-726-0929.
And this is not a knock on Penix Jr. How can we know? How can you say he's your guy when you haven't had enough evidence to know he's one way or the other?
Well, when they drafted him and Arthur said he was in on that, it was not just Terry and Raheem. Again, something else you've been wondering. Who made the pick? He says literally it was too big of an organizational decision for him not to be involved with that. And so, Mike, he believes in the kid. And that's fine. But, man, that's a hell of a commitment for a guy that's coming off of a knee surgery. And, again, he sounds like he's working in the right direction.
Right.
Feels like he'll be back. I don't know when. But that surprised me. And then here's the other thing for me. When we talk about this structure, he said the head coach and the general manager will make the decisions when asked about the final say. The president will give input and guidance. Input and guidance. So, again, we're trying to decipher this because we haven't seen it in play yet.
Right.
You know? Once we see it in play and it's day-to-day and we know what this
looks
like.
Isn't that the same thing that Rich McKay was doing in earlier iterations of this?
It feels that way, Mike. It really does. So when we talk about how this is going to work, hey, Arthur, who has the final say? And he said, look, the head coach and the general manager will make those decisions, but input and guidance will come from the president. Okay, so the president then is not going to make those final decisions. And the reason why this is important, guys, everybody's got a boss. Everybody's got a boss. And when you look at the Fortune 500 companies, some of you have stocks in them. You are investing in the decision-making. You are investing with hopes that they're going to make you money and there's going to be a nice return on your investment. And the only way you do that, Mike, is to have a great board, a chairman of that board, and great people at the top, whether it be the president, CEO, or the owner, etc. And my point is, I just want clarity on how these things are going to be done because it will affect our football team.
So by Arthur saying that he believes that Penix is our franchise quarterback, isn't that by definition meddling with the process?
No. He's telling you as the owner, we spent and went all in on this. I'm not ready to give up. That's what he's saying.
But again, this flies in the face of what you just spent the last few months evaluating your franchise. A fresh set of eyes might not feel the same way, and they may be right. You may be wrong about Michael Penix Jr. You know, he may be the guy, he may not. But by saying that you believe he's your franchise quarterback, Julio Jones should be a Falcon for life. You know what I mean? Just stop saying these things. Let's let a fresh set of a new general manager, a fresh offensive mind evaluate Michael Penix Jr., and then we'll find. You know what? The Jets had to cut bait on Zach Wilson. Sometimes, Carl, you know when you know. Sometimes, look what happened with now Sam Darnold. He got career resurrection in Minnesota,
yep,
and now Seattle. But, I mean, we've also seen guys flame out. Like, Anthony Richardson may never get a chance to start again in the NFL. You know, I didn't hear anybody in Indianapolis say he's our franchise quarterback moving forward. So it cuts back to what we said before this press conference. Is Arthur meddling? To me, that's meddling. Let somebody else take a look at your organization who knows football and tell you what let him tell you what he thinks about Michael Penix Jr.
Big O, if we have a couple of phone calls. Please hit us up at 404-726-0929 and let us know what you think and what you heard. By the way, with Mike Conte today, we'll let you hear it a little bit later on in the show. Mike Conte sat down with Arthur Blank, and Arthur admitted this. We hired the wrong coach.
Yeah.
He's literally said that. That is the mistake I've made, right? And when I asked him about what he had to say to the fans today, you know, because that's what I want to know. How are you going to correct these mistakes and make the fan base feel like we're moving in the right direction? He really did not answer the question. He talked about all the things that they're motivated to do and the processes in place, but he really didn't say, we are going to do this, this, and this, and this is why I feel confident about getting this right. Because, Mike, you said it. It's like the draft. We've had a crapshoot at choosing these damn coaches, and we've gotten it more wrong than right. So,
right.
But he admitted that today to Mike Conte. We'll let you hear that later in the show. But I was like, okay, he now knows 2 years in what we knew, wrong coach. And the good news is, Falcon fans, he didn't wait. He didn't sit around and say it'll fix itself, and he didn't say it'll get better next year. That part I like about this decision. But moving forward, the decisions they're going to make, Mike, are even bigger than the ones they just made.
Yeah, I mean, you just hope they get it right. But, I mean, I just – sometimes you feel like they're just moving deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah.
I do hope that they get something, you know, a strategic vision. And Matt Ryan hopefully cuts through all the BS. How hard is it to do this? Let one guy pick the groceries. He decides who the coach is. That way you're never going to have that static that we've seen apparently with this team.
More on what Mr. Blank had to say today. But when we come back, mayhem at State Farm Arena. Last night, if you were at the game, you were like, what the hey? He's been traded during the game? We'll come back and talk about it and what it means for our Hawks next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Steve, I'm going to interrupt you right now. I think it's happened.
Uh-oh.
Shams is tweeting that the Hawks have traded Trae Young to the Wizards for C.J. McCollum and Corey Kispert, which is surreal because Trae is currently sitting on the Hawks bench.
Right.
But Shams seldom misses.
He wants to enjoy the rest of the game, I think.
The team is not confirming this. I want to point that out. But I think we all kind of expected this, and I think we've got it.
We did. And that was Mike Conte during the game. For those of you who were at the game last night, I know many of you were on your phones. You were freaking out. I was getting calls. What do you know? Nothing. But it was a little surreal because Trae was there. Usually in these situations, guys don't play. He didn't, but they're not there. And then you saw him come out or leave the game, should I say, leave the bench and then come back. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live from the Atlanta Boat Show. Hanging out today, more on the Falcons and what Mr. Blank had to say in regards to where this franchise is going. By the way, they are conducting interviews starting today for this president's job, and that will head into the weekend. They have not spoken with Harbaugh, but they want to speak with Harbaugh. That got me excited because I was hoping he'd say that first, and he did say they're looking forward to meeting with him, but Harbaugh's not doing any interviews this week. Mike, the Trae Young trade, man. Where were you when you heard the news last night? Because I was out with my daughter. It was one of our last daddy-daughter dates before she goes back to school. And literally, when I got the news or people started texting me, we were at, the Top Golf Suites over
nice.
The Battery.
Very cool.
And we were in there playing different games and enjoying it. And I was like, oh, baby girl, I think they just traded Trae Young. And so that's how, you know, when I found out, where did you find out?
We were over at Roomies, over here at Colony Square, and Chase, our bartender, is a big Hawks fan. I said, hey, man, the trade deal went down. And he's, what do you think? I said, well, we didn't have to give up any picks to get the payroll off the books. You know, it sucks, you know, for, I mean, look, it is what it is. It's a shame that it didn't work out here with Trey, and Trey's got, millions of fans around the country, certainly 100,000 fans here in the A, but, it just wasn't working, you know, and some of this I blame on the Hawks, certainly. It wasn't Trey's fault. They did some of the silly moves that they made over his time. They never built on that 2021 team, but, yeah, man, it's just a shame. The good news is, if we get it right, and again, big if there, Carl, we, and you've brought this up before, we can be positioned as the next Oklahoma City because we're going to be so young, and we're going to have a bigger defensive footprint. I don't know how you feel about Anthony Davis. That clears up some money for that. But you got more money, and you didn't have to give up anything, and we still got those picks, and those picks can be huge this season.
No doubt. The Anthony Davis thing is who they pursue next. The rumors are out there about AD. Because the Mavs are going to move on. And he's got, you know, he's an opt-out guy as well. I mean, there's a lot at play. Don't know where this goes, whether they trade for Anthony Davis potentially before the trade deadline. I don't know how this is all going to play out. I'm mixed on that, okay? The Anthony Davis thing, I got mixed emotions. He's very much like Porzingis right now, Mike.
Right.
You get some good games, and then, oh, boy, he's hurt for six. And then you get a couple of good games, and he's out for 4 weeks. That's my issue. But I understand the idea is you want more size, athleticism, a rim protector, which AD is. Okay, but we'll worry about that when those deals happen. What about this team now with C.J. McCollum? Jalen Johnson has to really emerge as the star in the face of the franchise. We have lost that with Trey. And I'm not ready to crown Jalen the face of the franchise because he hadn't done anything yet. Trey got that moniker, Mike, after the 21 run.
Right.
Okay. When you led the team all the way to Eastern Conference Finals, you're balling out. You're giving teams. You're giving the Sixers 30 a night. You're killing New York. Then you get that moniker of, hey, that dude is the face of the franchise.
Right.
Jalen hadn't done anything yet. So I'm going to wait to see who emerges. I love what Nikhil's doing. It's a shame that him and Trey, he said it last night, didn't get a chance to play together because he said Trey really helped me make my decision to come here. But where does this leave us? Do you feel more confident that this team now is going to take off? Because Mike – Quinn Snyder's got to do something.
Yeah, that's where we're at now. Okay, Quinn Snyder, and I said to Carl, maybe there's some kind of residual hangover with these guys because they're like waiting for the other shoe to drop with Trey. I heard Nikhil Alexander-Walker said he came to Atlanta in part because of Trey. So a lot of guys were kind of, even though we kind of thought it was a fait accompli, perhaps, Carl, some of those Hawks players felt a little differently about it and they were a little stunned. But to me, prove it now. Okay, we should be better defensively. I mean, we've seen that Jalen Walker can bring the ball up. There's a lot of ways you get the ball up the floor. You know, Trey, was he going to do too much hero ball and screw up the sink of the half court? I don't know. But this team has got to be better. This team, we were talking about a fourth and fifth seed, remember, back in August?
Oh, yeah.
Quinn Snyder, what have you done? What are you doing? Get these guys to play some defense. If not, give Quinn Snyder an audition until the trade deadline. Go get Mike Malone. Because I don't know anything about Quinn Snyder that impresses me. I don't know what you guys are talking about. If he's so brilliant at developing talent, why is he screwing up the minutes with Risache?
404-726-0929. You can find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Hell of a run for Trey. I mean, it's always the finality of anything sucks. Divorce, kids leaving. Whatever it is, like the finality of it is, you know it might happen, but then when it actually happens, you go, damn. And so for me, like as much as I enjoyed watching, guys, Trey balled out here. He did a lot of good things.
But look at the record books. Look at all the milestones that he's
absolutely
hit.
Absolutely.
You know, unfortunately, he just didn't equate to W's here.
But that's the thing. Like not enough winning, and certainly not enough winning big. But, you know, I was asked today by our cohort, you know, Big Tigger on V103, said, who won the trade? And I said, look, the Wizards, because they get a brand name. They get something to build on that people are familiar with. We are just still trying to figure out what our team's going to be. We talk about the Falcons all the time and identity. What the hell is the Hawks' identity?
We don't have one.
What is our identity? Are we one of the stout defensive teams in the league? Hell no.
No, we're one of the worst defensive teams. Now, again, guys love, let's be honest, Jalen Johnson. Hell, guys used to go down to see Josh Smith above the rim. So the bar is very low here, Carl.
True.
For what folks consider elite basketball. But, yeah, what is our identity? You know, I mean, do you need a more athletic? No, Trey, the other thing about Trey, and I saw some things last night I don't necessarily agree with. Do you think he's lost a step?
No.
Because that was some of the stuff that was put out there last night. That Trey's not that same explosive guy with the teardrop to the bucket.
No, he can get his shots when he wants to. All those little guys, Mike, and I say that, you know, smaller guards, they're crafty, right? It's like my boy up in New York. He's not playing above the rim.
Oh, Brunson, yeah.
He's just crafty and gets you off of him, and all of a sudden he's shooting, and you're like, oh, how did he get open? Trey has that ability and still has the explosiveness. But I don't believe that. I think he's just been hurt, so we haven't seen the best of Trey this season. Big O back at the studio. Let's hear a couple of these guys talk about Trey. First, Jalen Johnson talking about being thankful for Trey. And then let me hear Nikhil Alexander. Mike and I were talking about his comments because I thought they were on point. And I thought he was as real as it gets last night. Like, Nikhil wasn't biting his tongue. He was like, look, I think Trey needs a new start. I don't think he just thought that. I think Trey and him probably had a conversation about, bro, you don't know the crap I've been through here. And it's time for me to get up out of here. Here's Jalen talking about being thankful for Trey Young.
Trey was great. He was great to have around. Just from day one, he always showed me love. And I'm very appreciative of the time we spent together and everything he's done for this organization, everything he's done for me. I'm excited for him and his next step in Washington.
So that's the young fella. Lots of upside. Let's hope he continues to develop. Here's the soundbite that Mike and I were talking about with Nall. That's Nikhil Alexander Walker talking about Trey.
I wish I would have got that opportunity to play with him. And, you know, he's the main reason why I'm here. Like, that's a part he was active in. And me and him talking and getting me to Atlanta and making it work for me. So, unfortunate.
It is. But we got to move on as a fan base. Mike, do you feel cheated as a Hawks fan? Like, we didn't get what we should have gotten. And when it's all said and done, was this a mistake? Is it a mistake? Will it be a mistake? Because if we don't win big after trading another star away, people in this city are going to go, man, we've done this a couple of different times now.
Right. And people feel you run stars off in this town. I mean, I think there's a big difference between this and Dominique.
I mean, I agree.
Hawks, look, I get it. Dominique played in the most competitive era of the NBA when there was like, I mean, there were great teams in every conference. And, you know, the Celtics were there and everybody else. And the time he got traded, they were leading, I think they were the first seed in the Eastern Conference, if memory serves correctly. It was just a dumb trade. And Neek, if we're honest, accomplished more than Trey did. You know,
he did,
but
he did.
And Neek's a hall. You know, he's one of the top. You know, 100. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. Trey may or may not. He may be. I don't know. Folks are going to follow where Trey goes with the Wizards. The Wizards have gone through a lot of stars and type A's and gone nowhere. So that's a franchise that's been, let's be honest, has been a whole lot of nothing for many, many years. So maybe Trey revitalizes it. I mean, they're excited. They've got a star. McCollum here is a sort of a rental player. I doubt he'll be here long term, right?
I agree.
He's gone. We may be moving on from Porzingis. But at the end of the day, Hawks fans, you felt bad because you thought he had a star. The 21 thing was so un-Atlanta. It was like Mike Vick in 2002. When Trey beats the Knicks, rolls the dice, takes the bow, that's, I mean, ballsy. That's the guy you want to pull for, right? Then we knock off the Sixers, right? We basically ruined Ben Simmons' career in that one.
Yeah.
You know, you beat Embiid. Maybe we beat the – I still give us even money against the Bucks to take that thing 7 games if he doesn't get hurt.
That's how I feel, man. It didn't happen.
But we never know. But you just never built on it, and that's not on Trey.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to – and guys like, yeah, you're singing a different tune now, Bill. No, man, if you listen, I can't think for you. We talked about his maturing process, and I think he came a long way with that. And you see him as a leader on this team now. That was 5 years ago when I was talking about, or 4 years ago when Nate got fired.
Yeah.
But it's a different animal now.
It is. I've seen the growth of Trey. You know, I would love to tell you behind the scenes some of the stuff that I saw, but it's not for me to say those things. It's for his teammates and the organization. Right. And now, you know, that he's not with this organization, nobody's going to badmouth Trey.
Right.
Did he lead early on, to Mike's point, the way that he should have? No. But here's my defense for him, and I actually said this to him one time. 19 years old, you come into any big city, and the weight is on your shoulders to carry everything is hard. I don't care what your upbringing is. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you look like. And he came in here, and he was damn near 18, turned 19, when they drafted him 1 year of college. And we all wanted him to act like a 40-year-old man. It doesn't happen. He's finally 27, Mike. He's got 8 years in the league. He knows what it takes. I wish him nothing but the best. Treated me great, treated us over the years. We had beef with him.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we just want to win. That's what we want from all of our teams.
Yeah, and you want to see, like, in Atlanta, people want you to win, but they want you to win with some style points. And for a long time,
swag.
Trey provided that swag.
Swag,
just, they just didn't build the sporting cast around him.
All right. What do you think? Trey Young gone now. Coming up, our buddy Zach Klein from WSB is going to join us. he currently does a podcast with Matt Ryan. We're going to get his thoughts on this whole president of football job and how interested does he believe Matt is. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Lots going on in the ATL. It is Dukes and Bell. You can discover boat shows, or should I say boats at the boat show. It's Boating Atlanta Boat Show in partnership with Progressive, guys, at the Georgia World Congress Center. It's Hall B. It's going on from January 8th through the 11th. It's one of my favorite shows to come to because you can literally get in these boats, act like they're yours for a few seconds.
Right.
Roam around. I mean, they've got every type of boat you can imagine.
Do you see this rock? I mean, this is talking about a rock star boat. You see, it's got the window that wraps around.
It's nuts.
With the living room. I mean,
it's crazy.
Giddy up.
Yeah, man. So we're down here, and remember,
pay the lottery tonight, man. Mega Millions.
Live better, yeah. Boat more. More on the boat show coming up. More on Arthur Blank and his comments. But let's talk to our buddy Zach Klein from WSB. You get a chance to watch him on Channel 2. Zach, my man, it's good to have you on the show. Really an great opportunity to have you because everybody's wondering what Matt Ryan is thinking right now. First of all, you guys do that great podcast. I think, is Aaron Donald on there with you all the time as well? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. Matt Ryan, Aaron Donald, Todd France, one of the partners at Athletes First who represented AD and Matt, and somehow I found my way into this podcast. But, yes, all four of us are on.
Okay, because it's great if you guys have not checked it out. But the question I think Mike and I and the rest of Atlanta has is how interested do you think he is in this president's role? Zach?
I thought you were going to say how interested is he staying on doing this podcast. I thought that's what we were having a conversation for. Listen, man, I think I might be losing a podcast partner if we're being real. Now, right. to be totally frank, I have not spoken with Matt. He was with us on this pod, the Inner Circle podcast. Please check it out. We did it for the first 14, 15, 16 consecutive weeks of the NFL season. When the news broke on Fox, which was on a Sunday, he hit us up in the group chat. He says, hey, guys, I got to hit pause on this. We all didn't ask any questions. We respected him and his time. And then we did this past one this past week. And again, he said, I need to hit pause on this. I need some time. And we said, okay, you got to do what you do. What's best for Matt and his family, what that may or may not be. At the end of the day, he's going to be the future president of the Atlanta Falcons.
And I know that we've seen it, Zach. We've seen, like, you know, Tom Brady's role with the Raiders, which precludes him from meeting with teams, you know, the NFL. If Matt could, you know, thread that needle and still do the CBS thing, does that seem viable, or is it going to be one or the other?
No, zero chance. I don't see it, guys, because he's going to be all in. He's going to be working 90 hours a week. He is committed to this like he would be preparing for a Sunday game against the Saints, and he is all in, and nothing would deter him from that. And I just can't see him being the president of football for the Falcons, then on the set with CBS. Well, the Falcons just lost in the last second fashion to your hated rivals. Matt, what do you think? Break it down. And then they go, hey, let's talk about the Browns and Jags, Matt. What do you? No, I just can't see
right.
it. So, no, I don't expect that at all. I wishful thinking. I'd love for him to continue to the podcast, guys. But if and when that does become official, he's all in on the Falcons, as he should be.
Zach Klein from WSB joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Zach, if you would, has he changed?
No.
He finished his career, like, I think we knew him as a player, but there are a lot of people, look, nobody's going to disrespect his football acumen, but as a person, you have been still very close to him, and obviously doing this podcast, it allows you to be around him a little bit more than most. What is Atlanta getting if he becomes the president? From a personal standpoint, the person that Matt is, and because the football stuff, we trust him with.
Yeah, and what I respected about him, Carl, so much through the process of doing the podcast is how honest he is, and he's not afraid to tell his opinion. Like, even when he was doing the CBS stuff, if he called out a player, he had reason to call him out. He wasn't sugarcoating anything, and that was the PG version of Matt. Now you get Matt behind closed doors and what he's really going to say to the nth degree. you know, we would go over the trials and tribulations of Mike McDaniel throughout the year. And he was blatantly honest. Go back and listen to some of the podcasts, his feelings on Mike and the lack of leadership and what he should, what's representative of a head coach and a quarterback. He was ripping Tua, deservingly so, for not being the face of the franchise in a positive, public, professional manner. He is all about winning. He is all about culture. He is all about professionalism. He is all about leadership. And he's going to take those values with him, hire the best head coach and GM that he sees fits those values, and then bring that attitude and those winning ways to Atlanta. And I think hopefully it does work out between Arthur and him. Again, nothing's official. I have not spoken to him about that. I'm hoping it works out because I think it'd be best for the Falcons and their fans.
Sports director for Channel 2, our buddy Zach Klein here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, live from the Boat Show. You're friends with Matt. Matt's been a mentor to Michael Penix Jr. It's been reported that he has a good relationship with Michael. We heard Arthur basically say that Michael Penix Jr. is the franchise quarterback, so safe to say Matt aligns with Arthur's view.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say. I mean, I think Matt's going to do a deep dive into everything and find out, you know, from a day-to-day operation, what's going on with Penix? How is he handling the read? What's his preparation look like? Who's he talking to? What's the communication with the quarterback's coach? What's the communication and the daily dialogue between he and the OC, and then make that? But I think from the outside, Mike, there gives me no reason to believe why he shouldn't believe and feel confidently in Penix moving forward. He's never indicated that. You know, I kind of joked when, you know, Penix was struggling earlier. Hey, should there be a quarterback competition? Was Cousins available? And he shot that down right away. So I believe he's all in on Michael Penix Jr. from the outside. Depending on what that deep dive looks into it, I don't see that changing unless he sees something totally glaring from looking at it from a day-to-day operation.
All right, my man, I want to take you back. I think it's 2022. We all been here a long time now.
Yeah.
You had an incident with Trey Young where Trey said to you, "You going to do me like that?" after a question
you asked.
Outside
guy. Outside guy. Yeah. Stay on the outside.
Yes. That you asked and he did not like.
Did he call him a hoe or just me?
No, he did not call.
Zach doesn't get called. I get called a hoe.
And he was displeased with your line of questioning. I bring that up only to say we cover Trey to the best of our ability. Sometimes players allow you to cover them more than others. What are your thoughts now that Trey Young has been traded, and what do you think it means for the Hawks moving forward?
I think it's a great move for the Hawks. I think it's a great move for Trey. And the way I think about it, guys, if you have a Democratic friend, could you ever convince them to vote Republican? No.
No.
If you had a Republican friend, could you ever convince them to vote Democrat? No. And I think that's Trey Young. He is so polarizing. You'll love him and you will defend him to the nth degree, and there's no convincing you otherwise. And if you don't like him, there's no way you could say he was a good fit and a good player and a good teammate. Where do I fall in that? A little bit of both. I think just getting to know him and his teammates. Listen, man, when you top five in the scoring and number one in the NBA in assists, you're doing something right. From being 6'1 and 100-something, you know, pounds, you know, dripping wet, what he's been able to do with that ability, that frame, is, credit to him. He plays no defense. We all know that. His teammates question him at times. We all know that. And they weren't getting better. At the end of the day, if you look at it objectively, they were not getting better with him on the floor. They had to make the move. I love what they are doing. You get flexibility. You get a change in culture. And Trey gets, a fresh start, a chance to make max money, which the Hawks were never going to get him. So to me, I think it's a win-win situation. It's all about winning. It's all about records. And the Hawks just weren't going to make that next step with him. I don't think the fans or you guys or anybody out there deserves to be in that number 7 seed through play-in game purgatory for the next, three, five, 7 years.
They don't play defense, Zach. And when is Quinn Snyder going to get it in gear? Because I got to be honest, even with the Trey trade and McCollum coming in temporarily, and Porzingis in his limited role so far, it's still the best team Quinn's had since he's gotten. So what's he going to do with it?
He's going to try, man. Like, he's going to die on that hill. The defense. He's trying to push buttons. He's trying to make the right rotations. He's trying to get these guys going. I mean, Moge stepped in, added value on the defensive front last night when he was forced to step in. Do you make it a move for AD and not give up, picks to make that and get rid of expiring contracts? I know they're working that avenue. There's no chance they're going to give up the Pelicans picks so they can get AD for an expiring contract. And, the Mavs are willing to move on from that. Yeah, I think that's a rim protector that would help out this team tremendously. But Quinn wants to play defense, and I think moving forward to get the pieces in place, he's going to get his guys in there. I think that's what he wants. But if it's not, if he can't get it out, man, he's going to be out because that's his DNA. That's what he wants. Look at Oklahoma City. Everybody's talking about the players that they have and Shea. They play defense. They get after you. They try. And I know Quinn wants to resemble that type of effort on the defensive side of the floor.
Did your line of questioning cross the line with Trae Young?
No.
I know
Trae
it didn't.
Like it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
A guy just hit me up. He goes, Dukes, I don't remember that. This was when Trae and Nate were – Nate was the head coach, and Nate told us, the media, that Trae missed the game. It was a Friday due to a miscommunication. And he didn't show up for the game. Dude, he was at home. And so
he was at home. Trae missed shoot around, and Nate told him, if you don't go to shoot around, you will not start. And Trey's like, I'm starting. I'm doing my rehab. And he's like, you're not doing your rehab, doing shoot around. I'm on the floor, get up a couple shots, and you will start. And he's like, no, I'm getting my rehab. They send him home. He stayed at home and didn't go to a game.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, can you imagine Kobe, Jordan, Bird, whoever you're – Barkley, whoever you not going to a game when they were hurt, and what the drop the mic moment was. He's like, you're an outside guy. You don't know what you're talking about, Zach. He's like, I'm hurt. I'm like, John Collins is in a walking boot and he is on the bench. He is hurt. Why aren't you out there?
Right.
And he got his bag.
Same thing. Remember, he got in his bag when it was reported that he took a private plane home after they got beat in the Miami series.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And these are moments, by the way, Atlanta, that some people point out as to signs that Trae was not going to be here long term. Right? Maybe he lasted longer than most imagined because he was a really good damn player, to Zach's point. But some of these situations, he didn't handle the right way. But we wish him nothing but the best, man. Wanted to get your thoughts on that and wanted to bust your chops on it.
All he had to say was, I'm sorry. All he had to say was, my bad. I should have been with my teammates. I should be there for them. And it goes away. When that happened, I got texts from the front office people, from players saying, welcome to our world. That was what went down there. And real quick, a lot of the blame for this, what's going on, obviously I know you guys have talked about it at length, is with the Hawks front office. They should have traded his ass 3 years ago and gotten more value for him back in the day. But they had too many, cooks in the kitchen. Travis obviously wanted to move on from him. Great organizations know when to cut bait. Losing organizations know when they try to double down and prove everything that is going to work out. And it's a definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But, hey, at least they cut bait. At least they got a fresh start. I'm excited to see what happens down the road.
We have confidence. I'm speaking for Carl. I'd say Saleh.
Yeah.
But he's got to go do it now. I mean, the idea we could be young like Oklahoma City. You think the Anthony Davis thing is the next step?
I do. I think they're going to try to move him. And I don't think Kispert is here for the long haul. I think they're trying to move him. He makes $15 million. Kennard and Zeke are basically the same guys. So I think they're going to try to move him. I wouldn't be surprised maybe, the TJ thing obviously offers some flexibility. But, yeah, they got to do it, man. Get that one pick. Get my boy from KU. I was a proud RockChalk Jayhawk alum. Get Darren. Get him in the ball. I mean, he's a beast. He's a clear number one. And then you got a young core, a young nucleus, all super athletic. That can defend or at least try to show the effort is there, and that feeds off everybody on the floor. If they're a stock guys, I'm buying. I do believe in that.
Yeah, I agree 200%. All right, last thing for me, Zach Klein from WSB. Do you believe that the new structure is going to work with the Falcons? Because this is something a lot of fans are questioning. It's not Matt Ryan. Take him out of the equation. It could be anybody that they're hiring for this president's job. The structure
Arthur said it today, guys. He says it's accountability. Everything will happen with Matt. And then it will funnel to his GM, which I think will be Ian Cunningham from the Chicago Bears. You guys have obviously done the connection with is one of his best friends in Poles. So I think it's Cunningham. I think it's Stefanski as the head coach. And I think maybe bring in Mike McDaniel as the offensive coordinator. Maybe bring in Ulbrich as a DC. If that's your core, if that's your package, I'm all in, man. You got a veteran head coach. You're not going through the recycle of bringing in this hotshot who you think coordinator. Give me somebody who's a two-time coach. If you're a two-time coach of the year for the Browns, you're telling me you can't have success with that offense with the Falcons? Come on. So I believe Matt's accountable. It all stems, and if it doesn't work, at least you can point the finger at Matt and say that's the reason why. It was his decision. Blame him for not having front office experience. Blame him for taking you down that path. At least you know it is Matt making the call, and I love the fact that there's some accountability there.
Right. There's so much dysfunction in Cleveland. That's why, I mean, what do you think? I know we got a roll, but Atlanta, where do we stack up? Because we got Bijan. This defense just is lights out, with or without Ulbrich next season. But, I mean, where do you think we stack up as far as attractiveness around the league?
To me, it's all about where you think that if you have a stud in Penix. If the coach thinks that's your guy, then I think we're there. I mean, obviously, Dart in New York. But if the coach in the front office believe he is your guy, I think they're in good space. If not, man, we got another 3, 4, 5 years of pain. But I don't want to hear that. So hopefully, you know, Penix is healthy, like they say. Comes back in the middle of the year. You have a stopgap. They're all in. Mac can coach him up. You got the weapons you mentioned on offense. Improvement on defense in a brutal, winnable NFC South. Give me a chip in a chair, as they say in poker, man. Let me dance and give me in the playoffs.
Check my man Zach Klein out, WSB. Zach, before you hang up, I want you to hear something as we go to break, so stay there, okay?
It may trigger him.
Thank you for being here. We will talk to you soon. Go ahead and play it, Big O.
And if it was state pride, it probably wouldn't have been as big of a deal. But like I said, it's unfortunate. My job and my goal is to win a championship, and that's all I focus on.
But you can see the perception, though, Trey. You are a leader of this team, and when you're not there to support your guys.
When you're an outside guy like you are, and you don't understand in a private matter, in a private situation, you should probably stay on the outside. And like I said, it's unfortunate that everybody has to understand and know a little bit of the details that went on inside. But, I mean, inside here, we're all good. And if you got any more questions about that, then you can talk to somebody else about it. That's all I got to say about it.
So you're part of the Dissed by Trey crew. Membership, me, and Zach.
That's what happened. Love that's it. What we were talking about. That's what we were talking about. See, we have surprises for you, my man. Hey, right take care,
I'm
Zach.
Going,
we'll talk
I'm going to you. I'm going to Etsy right now and getting an outside guy hoodie, and I'll send you one as well.
Right on.
You're an outside guy. Dude. Hey, man, we'll talk to you, bro. Take care.
Much love,
that's
guys.
Great stuff.
That's right.
Oh, man. Coming up, we are live at the Atlanta Boat Show. All right, 4th and 1's on the way. Look, it's been such a busy day. We hadn't even talked about who else got fired in the NFL. Yes, there
what?
Was another firing.
Another coach got fired, brah?
He did. We'll tell you the latest coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.